Is Lil Gator Game worth our time? We're about to find out. Welcome everyone to episode 171 of 1 Hour, 1 Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, Tom, are Lil Gators enough for us to keep playing?
Yeah, yes, maybe, no. We'll find out.
We are going to find out. As, we're talking about Lil Gator Game, developed by Mega Wobble. And this game came out, this is one where they kind of divided it up on Switch and PC. It came out in December of 2022. And then PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series consoles, October of 2023. So I played this on the PC. It was a paltry 267.25 megabytes on the PC. Tom, what about you?
My goodness. See, I thought it was small on the Series S, where it came in at 605.78 megabytes. Whew. But
that's still three times the game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just about. Just about. But hey, we
it's still Lil either way.
It's still Lil Gator Game. It is Lil. And what kind of game is this?
I put Third Gator Exploration. Oh, he's not a person.
No, you're right. And I completely missed that. I put Third Person Story Platformer.
Yeah, I agree with everything but person.
But the person, yeah, that's fair. I could have probably just put Anthropomorphic, and that might have worked.
Could have been.
Yeah, oh well. Missed opportunities. But let's talk about the opportunity about this game loop.
I have a beat up cardboard monsters and complete quests to impress your big sister.
Ooh, okay. I got the sister in mine as well. I put complete silly quests to convince your sister to play with you.
Yeah, see, that sounds kind of dirty.
Why is that dirty? Why is it dirty? This is a wholesome game, Tom.
You're right, Chris. If anybody else thought what Chris said was dirty, they have a dirty mind.
Yes, you dirty, dirty people. We're talking about a child who wants to reconnect with his sibling, older sibling.
That's right.
And what's more wholesome than that? Our likes. Let's talk about those. let's talk about them.
I think the game is, I mean, I know the game is bright and colorful, and we've played a lot of dark, sinister, in the dark, creepy at nighttime games, and I'm very happy to just be in the daylight and have something bright and colorful.
That's right. We just talked about The Quarry, so this is a welcome change from that, because Tom didn't like the spooky. I generally don't like the spooky, so it was good to have this like very adorable art style. Even the music I thought was very cutesy, and like we kind of talked about, the whole premise of this story is you play as this little gator who as he's growing up, is it here? Anyway, exactly. As they're growing up, they used to play games with their older sister. And a lot of times it's like these adventure games that they would go into. But now this sister, there seems to be quite a big gap in terms of the age difference there. But anyway, the point is that now this older sister is now very busy with school, college life, it seems like.
Yeah.
And doesn't have time to play games, little kid games anymore. So the whole point of this game is, or at least from what we've played, to get this character to get this sister to play with said gator in this crazy little adventure that they make up.
That's right. So it's very heavily inspired, clearly, by Legend of Zelda. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
They talk about the hero of legend and that he's green and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even the first little outfit for your little gator is the, you know, quintessential pointy hat and a sword and a shield.
Mm-hmm. And funny enough, actually, the game, and this was actually pointed out to me during the stream, that it kind of has a Wind Waker and feel to it. So
very, very much so. And Wind Waker is actually the only Legend of Zelda that I ever completed.
Really?
So that holds a very special place in my heart.
Nice.
I think it was cute. You know, the references were good. I liked little things that they did with the art style. In fact, like the speech bubbles when you're talking to all your little animal friends,
right?
It has footprints in the speech bubbles that match up with the type of animal that you're interacting with.
They may be
a little webbed frog feet or hooves or whatever is appropriate. I think the game is kind of funny in that way.
Yeah.
Like it's cute and it's funny. It's got some weird stuff going on. Like there's this character that wants to teach you about the art of descending, and all that is just turning into a ragdoll and falling down.
Well, at first he was like, oh, you can't climb because you don't have enough bracelets.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I just have one. And he's like, oh, well, we'll see about that. And then you get to him and he just falls off the ledge. I was like, okay. Yeah, this game definitely was pretty funny. There was another character, the horse character, which I thought was hilarious. Like he was really not feeling this whole idea. And like he was very much a jaded character.
Yes.
And but I like the variety of the characters that you interacted with. There's some really like people that are like super enthusiastic about this, and like it was all just done through like written dialogue, which I thought was really impressive. Because the animations, while they were there here and there, it was like, I guess, fairly limited.
Yeah.
Like, but almost in the Zelda way, right? Because at least in the older Zelda, where they didn't really move so much and it was just more you're reading. Yeah. And it was really funny, I thought. And I thought even the controls were easy to pick up.
Yeah.
And I thought, again, another game where they incorporated the tutorial in a way into the game, and they slowly introduced more and more mechanics as you progressed through the story. And through your missions, which is really nice.
And the things that they give you make the exploration aspects easier.
Yes.
You know, whether it's the ability to climb or the ability to glide or, you know, so as they unlock those things, it does also open up the world.
Right.
And it opened up quite a bit, even in this first hour that we played.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going back to the funny parts, like the glider is just a shirt that you just like glide with, which is, I mean, it worked. It was effective. So that was kind of nice. And then like the shield is just like a pot lid, you know, and stuff like that. So it was good. I appreciated that. I also appreciated the fact that there's like a little like retro filter that you could turn on the game that makes it look even more like an older game.
Yeah.
I would say even like it looks older than like a GameCube game. Like it was weird. It was like, it gave me vibes of like almost the full motion video kind of point and click adventure game.
Yes.
Look. So, and that was kind of cool. I thought that was neat that they enabled that option in there. So what else did you got here?
I like all of the green creatures. So no big surprise besides the little gator and his sister.
Yeah.
My other favorite character was the frog.
Yeah.
Whose name is Avery with an exclamation point at the end.
Yeah.
And then when Avery is done talking to you, they just cartwheel away. Just, which I guess is easy to animate, right? There's not a whole lot of animation there.
This is true.
But it's ridiculous and hilarious. Yeah. So
it is. It is.
Good job saving resources and also, you know,
being funny about it. I agree. Avery was fun. We forgot to mention, I think this is also in the older Zelda games too, where you pick the name of your adventurer. Like it's not necessarily Link all the time. So you put in the name of your character that you're going to be playing as, and then they fill the dialogue with that name. So that was,
it's a little RPG in this action game.
Exactly.
Because there's not really a whole lot of RPG there, but that part is.
Yeah, agreed. And one other thing, I saw that there is a speed run mode.
Okay. Did you check that out at all? I did not.
I didn't try it, but I guess the idea is that you could skip through all the dialogue and just allow you to just kind of burn through the game as quickly as possible. I thought it was just very interesting that this game would have that option. And, you know, hey, maybe they were trying to wedge into that speedrun, one of those like Twitch charity things, speedruns or games done quick or whatever the case may be, and have this in there. I don't know. There's some weird games that are on games done quick, but you know, this wouldn't be the weirdest. Yeah. I'll say that much. So.
But there is a lot of dialogue, and maybe we should move on to our dislikes, and like, unless you have some more. Likes.
Yeah, we can get into those dislikes here. What would you get?
My first one is appropriate segue here is that there is no voice acting, and it's all text and reading text, and it does that bubble text sound that you kind of expect. Which maybe is better than the Simlish. I'm not sure, but either way, there's no voice acting.
I mean, you also probably have to think about if the game had voice acting, how much bigger the game would be.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, because of how much dialogue there is.
It would explode in size.
Yeah, it would be huge. The one dislike I will say is it gave me Zelda vibes. So because of that, I appreciate Zelda for what it is. I get that. Obviously, it's near and dear for a lot of people. But why is the attack button in the wrong place? It is the B button in here. Just like the newer Zelda games, they have like the jump on the wrong button as well. It just infuriated me. My son was really into the game. I tried playing the second one. I just couldn't get into it. I was like, I got like off the one island. I was like, I'm done. I don't need this anymore. But yeah, like it was just confusing with the controls. I didn't, even though I checked out the retro filter and speedrun, I should have checked to see if I could remap the controls, which would have been nice. Hmm. Probably would have taken that off. But, you know, that's I only got an hour. So that's I was too busy doing other stuff here. And there is a lot of stuff that you go through. And Tom, I think you and I put the same thing on our dislikes here about that.
Is it that it's easy to get sidetracked and not progress on your main quest?
Yeah. Yeah. It is very confusing.
What are my objectives, Chris? I don't know. There's no way to check them.
That's right. There's no quest log. You press the start button. It gives you like your options to quit the game and all that stuff. And you don't. Yeah. I don't even think there's a map.
There isn't. That was another one of mine. Yeah. No map. Not always clear where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah. So that
I can't check up my objectives. I can't see a map.
Right.
I'm just
like, you have to
wandering.
Go and find the person that created or that gave you the quest.
Yes.
And then like you get, I think then a UI show pops up near them. But like, other than that, you're just kind of like, okay, what do I need to do? And figure it out from there. So yeah, it just definitely felt like you were just kind of aimlessly running around or like, you know, if I have a short attention span like me, where you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. Wait, what was I supposed to do? And then like totally forget what I was supposed to do. And there's no way to remember because they say, well, you're supposed to remember. So that kind of stunk. But even in between, because like you mentioned during the game loop, there's no sense of dread. Not to say that the game needs to be scary or anything like that. Yeah. Like, there's no stakes, I would say, other than you trying to convince your sister to play with you. You know, you're just whacking away at these cardboard cutout monsters.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like, okay,
there are no enemies. There's no threat.
Yeah.
All there is completing the objectives, and I can't even see what the objectives are.
Yeah. I think if you were at least able to get that checklist, I'd be okay with it. It's just that. I agree. It's just like, well, okay, what am I supposed to do? And like, and look, I mean, again, we talked about it already, but like the dialogue was good when you got to talk to these people and like some of the stuff, the interactions that you had to deal with were great, you know, but like
there's not even so much as an arrow pointing you towards the next thing.
Right. So that was kind of unfortunate. I see this one thing. I think one of your last dislikes here. I agree with you completely on this with your character.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing, right? They prompt you to name your character.
Yeah.
And if you're a civilized person like I am, you use a capital letter at the beginning of your first name.
Same.
But here's what happens. None of the other characters have capital letters in their names.
No.
So you're the only bozo with the capital letter in your name.
Yeah. Yep.
And 100%. That drives me crazy. Drives me crazy in every game where this is a thing that happens.
It drove me up the wall too, especially when you also saw that Avery had a punctuation at the end of her name too. It's like, what? What is going on? Why would you do this to me? Yeah, that was really bothering me as well. But, you know, this is their game and this is how they want to do it. So good for them.
It reminds me of playing like an online game with other people who aren't taking it as seriously as you are.
Yes.
But this is a single player game. It doesn't make any sense.
Nope. No, it doesn't. But any other dislikes here that you want to bring up, Tom?
I realized that I could use rocks as a projectile super duper late. So when I was trying to whack things that were in the air, my plan was climb up somewhere high, jump and float at it, and then swing at it with my sword, which is a way to do it. Yes, you can do it that way.
Okay. But
boy, is it a dumb way to do it.
Yeah.
So don't do that. If you're going to play this game, find the rocks, use the rocks, pop balloons with rocks. Don't try to float over to them and swack them with your sword.
Fair enough. Good to know. I don't even think I got that far with the balloon stuff. I was just,
Just lost. You were probably in the right place and I was in the wrong place.
I do appreciate the fact that unlike our time with Starfield, where the objectives seem very far away, like they did kind of like at least pepper the world with stuff that you can at least try to interact with.
Yes.
So I appreciated that. Like they didn't make me walk like 10 minutes to find the next thing. There's at least something I can go and whack or whatever, collect the junk, the scrap that I can use then to purchase goods and services or whatever in this world. So, so that was kind of cool. I appreciate that as a kind of a bring back a like there. But cool. All right, let's get our other thoughts then. How long to beat? Tom says that we're about either a third or a quarter of the way through the game because it takes about 3 to 4 hours to complete.
Wow.
A short game again.
Yeah, well, as long as you could find the end of the game.
Right. And now that also makes me wonder, is that like the speed run number?
Mm.
Or is that like a legitimate, like, you know, hey, if you're playing this for the first time, you'll probably average about this. I don't know. Okay. I'd have to double check. I'm only looking at what Xbox's app tells me.
Fair enough.
So we'll see that. But it does have Xbox Cloud Saves and Play Anywhere and X Cloud compatible. So this game is all over. You can play it however you want on your Xbox platforms of choice. So good on them to implement that. What do you got, Tom?
Okay. So I was reading up on the game and I found some interesting little tidbits that are relevant because of our previous 170 episodes. So the developers cited Frog Detective as an inspiration on the writing. Hey, we played that.
Yes, we
they
did.
Also cited A Short Hike as an inspiration for their visual style. And that's one of ours too.
Uh-huh.
And then they said that the side quests are based on the absurdity of the Yakuza series, which we also touched.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, look at this. It's like an amalgamation of all these things that we've played.
It sure has.
That all said, this is the first and only game made by this developer.
Okay.
If you're looking for something with a similar aesthetic and nostalgic appeal, their publisher made Yooka-Laylee. And you could kind of see how that may play in here as well.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I could see the publisher being like, yeah, your game is kind of like our game. Let's make that happen for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely got decent platforming for what it is. I will say, like, I mean, overall, I think the controls felt good.
Yeah.
For a 3D platformer / adventure game or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, that's cool. That's good. Nice to know that. And who knows, maybe they gave them some tidbits on how to do a decent platformer.
Could be.
Set up the world. So that's cool.
And it definitely feels, you know, cutesy and colorful and, you know, fun and family friendly. So
definitely. Now, Tom, are we keeping this little Gator game on our respective hard drives, or trying to drown it in the lake, whatever.
Flush it down the toilet?
Flush it down the toilet.
Go right into the sewers? That's not a good idea.
Abandon it like it's like the sister or whatever the case may be. But yeah.
Drop it like a kid, younger kid brother.
Yes.
So, okay. I think this is a good game to chill out with, but the lack of objectives and the map like really kills it for me. Mm-hmm. So especially knowing that it's only 3 to 4 hours, I'd really like to go back and play it because I do think it's funny and I do think it's fun.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to need to have like a walkthrough, a game facts or something open on the side because I don't, getting lost and getting annoyed was really killing it for me. And I just don't want to do that anymore. So
agreed. Yeah, for me, like the game was adorable. It was an adorable little game. And even though I like you mentioned, there's definitely some slowness, like just like bumpiness along the way. The fact that it is another one of these like little experiences makes me at least want to try and get it off my backlog and, you know, see where this little story ends up. I'm assuming it'll be a positive ending because it seems like it's just one of those cute, adorable games where there might be like a low where like maybe the sister says like, I don't want to play with you. Just leave me alone or whatever it is. And then he feels really bad and she turns into a boss or something like that. Who knows? Maybe where you actually have to fight her. But, I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. So, yeah, I'll keep it.
I had half a mind that, like, maybe the cardboards were going to come alive or something.
Yeah, it could have been something, too.
If that happens, this game could really turn around very quickly and be very fun.
Yeah.
But just hacking up cardboard is not all that fun.
Right. Agreed. Give me some action there. But
yeah.
But those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D. Check out our next streams on Twitch at twitch.tv/1H1D. Or, hey, this is on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, send us a comment down below and tell us, hey, if you've actually played this game and you really enjoy it. And the sister isn't fully a jerk, whatever. We've got a bunch of other episodes on YouTube. Check them all out, all our other reviews. So, you know, be cool. Check that out too. But 1H1D is part of that QTB network. And if you like any great gaming content, check it all out at quitthebuild.com/network. Now, Tom.
Yes, Chris.
We need to find out what we're playing next.
Will it be a big crocodile game?
Well, we're about to find out because the surprise me button is going to tell us. So here we go.
Will it be dark and gloomy?
Maybe. It is Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged. I can say that better.
It's a lot to say.
It is. It's a mouthful. And but it is the next game that we're going to be playing. So another sequel, Tom.
They're nothing but sequels. Well, this one wasn't a sequel. So
yeah, you're true. That's true. That's true. But that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. And we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.